Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain, inform, but we'll talk about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and there is not a single crevice on my body that does not have glitter in it somewhere.
And I had to adjust mine because I'd forgotten that I had turned on the gain. For people on the pre-show heard, I had completely redone my recording setup. It was questionable if it was working or not. Dev confirmed it was not working as well as I thought, so while the stream was going, me trying to swap everything back to how it was, and will return the new microphone and headphones.
It was too good.
I will have to find a headset with the mic a few inches from my face, because there's too much ambient noise in my room for, like, a proper microphone setup to work. I believe Dev said it sounded better, but also it sounded like I was talking into a cup or a drum. Or you said drum.
A drum. Yeah, so it was like richer, there was a little more, you know, it was nicer, but also it was had a weird kind of echo to it.
Yeah. Not to mention I've been using this headset for 5 years, so it sounds very normal at this point. So we'll see if I can find a more comfortable headset, as clearly a mic setup is not what will work for me.
I would suggest mine, but my head is tiny.
How has your week been, Dev, with your tiny head?
Oh, utterly, utterly wretched. The warehouse at my job is full of festive decorations, floor to ceiling, and if anyone has ever played Donkey Kong Jr., that was me swinging around the steel in the warehouse, trying to reach objects.
See, I would have likened it more to, like, Tetris. Just trying to make everything fit. But you're talking about actually having to climb up and grab stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Do you at least... Does your place at least have one of those... the staircase on wheels? Or are you actually climbing?
I was actually climbing. Like, oh. There's kind of, like, stationary, sort of like heavy-duty shelving bolted to the wall.
Now here,
so I was climbing up that
now here's,
to try and reach merchandise that I had no access to from the front. I was like 15 feet up high, just climbing metal fixtures.
Now here's the important question. If while you were climbing up, was there a dude named Stanley shooting stuff at you?
No, actually, there was a guy named Sean, and I was throwing things at him.
So a combination of Donkey Kong Jr. and Donkey Kong 3.
So here, catch this garland.
Yeah, I knew you were extra tired this time. I was curious how tired, but we will see. But yeah. So, Dev, how do you like the new Beat Break?
Surprised. I expected it to be creepy and for another brother figure to get slightly murdered.
They really, like, the preview really did make it seem like it was going to be like a creepy, action-y, almost Ghost Game-esque episode.
It's like, no, Kyo's actually sneaking off to play daycare.
Yeah. We also get the first proper reference to the 5 stars, the top Digimon cleaners, silhouettes of their Digimon, and no good bounties because they've taken out everything.
Yep, they ran train on everything and there's nothing left. And all the rest of the criminals are like, no, we're good. We're lying low for a while.
And then I love Yoshi pops in. Anyone but those kids who are right there.
Oopsie.
And then, you know, he has to take them. And then the Poyomon shows up and Gekkomon's like, I can tell he's been around Kyo because I ate Kyo's E-Pulse in the middle of the night.
He just had a little taste.
The Black Galgamon complaining about being hungry and telling them to run. A nice little bit of can't quite control himself, but doing his best.
See.
And then Kyo and Murasumon arrive to help. Black Galgamon runs in fear, and Kyo does the tip over, and then Reina really wants an explanation. And hey, a Kyo and Murasumon eye catch.
I was very surprised and also very happy about that.
Oh no, it was a very
it's
nice.
Like, yes, it's not Gekkomon for once.
Yeah, as the episode was going, I'm like, have we seen enough of someone else for the eye catch to be them, or is it going to be Tomura? Gekkomon playing with the babies was fun. We get an explanation. It's all the so they won't get deleted by the ministry, the ones they've captured. All of them getting their e-pulse from Kyo seems a bit much, honestly.
Why they stay as babies? Because it's like, oh, it's a tiny little thing. It probably doesn't need much individually, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah, it's still a lot. Then they start preparing for Black Galgamon to come back. Then we get the baby that was with the Haimon. Or the wolf.
Yeah,
Haimon who evolved.
Haimon that turned
the
Fangmon. Yeah.
Really scared of Tomura. What's interesting is we don't know if he actually has any memories of that or not. He may just be scared of Tomura because Tomura was threatening him as a baby.
Hard to say. They didn't really go over how much
I was a bit curious about that, but I understand, you know, more important things to do. I like that we're actually getting some time with Kukrumon now. Because he's normally just kind of like sleeping. Yeah.
Which makes sense now, because if Kyo is giving all of his e-pulse to all the babies, Kukrumon is just like, I'm going to ration this. You chill, dude.
I'm trying to decide if that's it, or if it's just literally he likes resting, or both.
I mean, cats are just like that.
Also, this is the first time in a bit that they've remembered that Tomuro's a drummer.
Yeah, it's been a couple of episodes.
Yeah. And then we get some explanation of what's going on with Black Galgamon. Kukrumon discovered the chains. He was abandoned and chained up.
Because he wasn't going to terrorize people for his owner.
And
he was probably a dick.
Well, that's the thing. What's interesting is when he attacks in, we do get some clarification. It appears he's one of the Digimon that's been with the various gangster crime groups. Because he talked about refusing to do that stuff. And that's when they chained him up and abandoned him. And then...
Would you be mean to the puppy?
Okay, so this is a weird one. So when they jump back to the observatory, Wolvermon's there defending it.
Yes.
Like, the first thing we saw in the show was the fancy banked animation for Pristimon evolving to Wolvermon. They showed us behind the scenes of it. They talked about how important it was to do that banked animation correct because it will keep being used. And it really, like, isn't used.
Oh, it was just they swapped over and Wolvermon was already throwing missiles.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, we saw it in the first episode. Have we actually seen the sequence since then? It might have been in episode 2 or 3.
I think just one other time.
Yeah, I don't remember. But, like, they just love swapping and it's there. And chat is joking that we'll never see it again.
All that effort for nothing.
And then we realize Black Galgamon is trying to use its e-pulse on purpose to end itself. Tomura realizes it's wrong. Kyo helps it by letting it feed and get very good speech. I like the speech. It feels a bit odd when it's doing it like while he's being eaten a bit.
Nom 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 nom.
And then Black Galgamon, you know, is confused why it's being helped. I like that it's a conclusion without like the full battle.
Yeah, because it wasn't necessary. It's like he doesn't want to fight.
And then Black Galgamon turns into the baby to be a bit smaller. Did they explain why that happened? Like, Black Galgamon said it was going to happen, but like that did seem a bit odd. I feel like I missed something, though.
Maybe it's harder for them to return to a smaller form like that without, like...
being weak?
Makes sense.
Yeah, in the chat, they're saying, why didn't it de-evolve at the beginning? I wonder if it being hungry made it so it couldn't control stuff.
Makes sense, because he was, like, rampaging around and going after everything.
Yeah, and then Yoshi fixes the hologram generator that, you know, protects, blocks off the observatory where the babies are stayed. Okay, did that... That baked potato with egg thing he made Kyo looked not good.
He can't... Well, I mean, that's why he asked Kyo to teach him how to cook, because he kind of fucking sucks at it.
Yeah.
He tried to boil eggs in a microwave.
To his credit, he does ask Kyo to teach him how to cook. Like, he wants to properly help. Now, that is all, and you know, Yoshi kind of gets harassed by the babies a bit, and Kyo looking at his armband, which that's going to be a story for later. So one other weird thing. Does it feel like Tomro keeps learning the same lessons over and over, and then like backtracks?
And then just not really retaining them.
Yeah, like it's doing the like old sitcom thing where like the character learns their lesson, and then the next episode, Steve Urkel's back to using that pod that turns him into Stefan and other characters.
Yeah.
And chat just said Tomro has Aesop amnesia, which is a good way to explain it. This is really a good, solid character story episode. The show needs to get going, though.
I want some evolutions.
I want like, I understand starting off slow, it makes sense, but I do need it to get going. Like, we're 7 episodes in at this point. I would like less drip-feeding for now. And give us at least
violence.
Give us at least an episode or two that clarifies what's going on for the characters, and then you can go back to the sitcom style pacing, which is fine. Every Digimon show does it, but it doesn't feel like we have enough structure so far that we just don't have that structure yet. Honestly, yeah,
probably another 2 or 3 episodes because the preview for the next one didn't look too promising as far as plot goes.
See, I'm not sure, because one, I like the title of Vanishing Classroom. That's very suggestive of a few different stories. And Hitomi's back, and Tomro really is unhappy about this. You can tell from the preview. But
it's like, I've been trying to avoid you so you don't get eaten by Digimon, but now you're getting eaten by Digimon anyway.
Yes. So far, though, and Aquastorm says in chat, the characters have been solid. That makes it worthwhile, but soon that's not going to be enough. It is at the moment, but soon, no. So Casta for so Punimon was Daisuke Kishi, who was the earring Haimon, so we won't go over him since we've talked about him before. Black Galgamon was Satoshi Soroku. Long history with Digimon, but he hasn't been in much since Savers. So in Frontier, he was one of the Kanmon and the Karatsuki Numamon, the episode where they could climb up the walls. And in Savers, he was UL Force Vigimon, Hashiba, and a bunch of other characters, and he was one of the Goblimons in the movie.
Neat.
And in the Adventure PSP game, he had a bunch of bit roles, like he was the Yuki Darumon, just a bunch of, I think he was a Dremojimon, just a bunch of little characters. And are you ready for a selection of some of his roles?
Yeah.
M. Bison in Street Fighter stuff. Genai in Big Order. Arash, Berserker, and Cater in Fate. Sumilodon in Metabots. Yeah, it felt like... I'm not a big Fate person, but I'm pretty sure those are like multiple actual big characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Sumilodon and Metabots, and then just a couple of dubbed over things that I thought were amusing. The narrator in Hi-Fi Rush, and Norman Osborn in Tombstone in Into the Spider-Verse.
Rat can see it. Well, hear it, but you know.
Tombstone's the one that I want to hear of those. Then we also got a bit more production art from episode 6 showing the Pandamon versus Astamon fight. We get to see the Linart/Genga there.
It's so cool. But I say that every week. But it will continue being cool.
Talk for a minute as I look up something someone said in chat that I need to check.
Really?
Yes.
You don't say. Hmm.
Let me see. So I guess one question is how many more episodes, Dev, do you think, in your opinion, do you think they can get away with not moving stuff forward?
That they can get away with, or what they will probably?
Both. The first would be, how many do you think they can get away with before the audience just is not there anymore for it? And how many do you think the actual plan is?
I feel like the actual plan is probably at least 5 or 6 more. And I would prefer only 2, but...
Okay, that is correct. Okay, are you ready? It is indeed correct. He is also Big Bird in Sesame Street in Japan. I had missed
that's amazing.
I had missed that one while going through the list.
That's the best one.
Yeah, that is one that I had missed. That's why when someone mentioned, I'm like, wait, I need to confirm this.
Hands down, it's the best one.
The new Liberator. It's very weird that, like, they really want Zenith to be Char. And just, we do not know the guy well enough for that. Like, we do not get enough character stuff with him prior to this event. At least in my opinion.
Getting some background stuff. It's like, congrats, you were an awesome game player person, but your friends are, like, too fucking busy.
No, that's, like, the funny part. The flashback, does it feel like it wants us to feel sorry for him? But it, like, when you read it, it's like, his friends are worried about their futures. His future's set up, like, he has sponsors, he's playing games. And then he's like, and I have to play games as they all go and live their lives. It's like, I feel like that'd be a cool thing to have learned earlier so we can see that, like, he doesn't quite have a solid tether to reality or what's going on. Getting it now feels like too late. And then, like, him trying to recreate the finale that he lost because he doesn't think he won it enough.
Completely out of his fucking mind, and it's hilarious.
Also, okay, so this is weird. Did the writing make it seem like he didn't know who Elizamon was? Like, he seemed
I feel it's more that he was expecting it to go with the same exact deck as before.
I guess. The writing, like, felt like it was writing like he had never met Elizamon. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. That's been his partner for a while, and they were on the same squad and everything. It's just really odd. And then we get to see we get a flashback with Shoto, that's nice, and the cliffhanger at the end reveals that Owen has a medieval Dukemon, which I don't think that's shown up at all yet. Has it? I mean, it's shown up for Shoto, but not for Owen.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. That's an interesting twist, especially since they even point out that is what Shoto uses.
It's like, this works better in your deck. It's like, well, just cram a medieval Dukemon into every deck.
I will say, it's funny how much better Liberator is now that it's kind of getting back to the point. I actually really like all those side chapters. The problem is when they're doing them chapter after chapter in the middle of the apocalypse, it just doesn't
quite
fit.
It comes off as awkward.
Yeah. And then Time Stranger news. So first up, I had to mute myself from laughing because Dev sent the little yay that Zeno did in the comic.
Best panel in the chapter.
It is. I just wasn't expecting it. I'm looking at the next thing to start going over, and then out of the corner of my eye, I see it pop up, and I just had to mute myself. We get details for the first Time Stranger DLC pack, alternate dimension, story content around key characters in quotes. They show Kuremi in the extended version, and 5 new Digimon. They show Blitzgroup, Greymon, Crescurumon, Omegamon Ultra B, Omegamon Zwart Defeat. They tease Omegamon Ultra S in the preview. And there's also a few mentions in a few other places. One, they mention Zwart, but they don't mention the D after it, which I don't know if that's on purpose or if that's an accident. And they also literally do say that Ultra S is in the pack.
Is that 5 Digimon or...
Well, that's the weird thing is this is very much... A, more Omegamon the pack, which I don't dislike, but, like, does that feel like substantial for DLC? Because we get the 2 of them, and they evolve into the 3rd, and then we get 2 who are normally associated with each other as Dark Omegamon.
Hey, here's a recolor, and another recolor, and a slightly different, more edgier recolor. Let's give us money.
See, I feel like this is one where it's less the Digimon and it's more the story. If does the story content feel like enough? Which is weird because
I would have to actually see what it is entirely and then compare it to the price point.
I will say the one thing that was very disappointing, any DLC missions they've released up till now where they've gone like, this pack has DLC missions. They've been very, very basic, minimal, almost non-existent missions.
I was like, this is a hallway.
Oh no, there's been ones where it's been less that, where it's literally been like, okay, I remember one. It has to do with the Hikari costume. It's like someone was cosplaying and they got spirited away. So if you put on this outfit and run around this area, maybe something will happen. So you put on the outfit and you just run around, and then you get sucked into a mission and you have to beat up one guy.
Really worth the money.
Yeah, and chat, the reason we don't go over certain translated interviews is the person who translates them does not translate them well. And absolutely not even worth discussing at that point. Because the translations are so bad as to sometimes be completely wrong, which is why we don't go over those. When we have time to go over them properly, we do. If not, we don't. Because some of the existing translations are so bad as to just not be worth going over.
Do it right or don't do it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and even chat's like, yeah, some of those quests are like, here's a mission because you bought a costume. I would say those are the only disappointing part of the costume DLC is I feel like it might have felt better if it was just costumes and not like 10-second missions that were just there to say there's a mission. Those are
just
actually
horning it in.
Yeah, those were actually not good. Then on top of that, we got art pro and little profiles for Blitzgreymon and Kreskurumon. I will say, am I wrong or is the art for these like even much better than a lot of the Time Stranger art?
Yes, it is. Especially Blitzgreymon.
Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of. Like, it really looks good. Like,
looks badass. The colors are nice and rich. The pose is actually, like, even though it's, you know, pretty basic for that Digimon, it's, like, just angled slightly enough that it's like, oh, this is actually more interesting than usual.
Yeah. And then the PlayStation blog does a player's choice poll every month, and the October one, Time Stranger one. Yay-ish. It's one of those things where like people get really excited about, but it really doesn't mean anything. So it's kind of just, okay, neat, but
the call's coming from inside the house.
Yeah, especially with like the fan vote type polls where it's like, okay, Digimon fans love to swarm polls. It's neat, but it doesn't like do anything for the game. Like people are like, woo, Digimon deserved it. It's not like a trophy shows up or something. That's where I kind of get like, eh, it's neat, but it doesn't.
It's just like a little engagement thing.
Yeah. And if you want to talk about engagement, Dev, this already happened, and I don't think we got any photos from it yet. At the Digimon pop-up store in the UK, the one at Camden Market, they had the Agumon and Gekkomon mascots.
Oh my god.
I don't think we've got any photos of them yet, though, unfortunately.
It's a shame.
I wonder if they're going to bring them to the other store, because it feels like flying those into London for one day is very minimal.
It's like, is it even worth like packing them up and hauling them at that point?
I'm trying to think if there was anything else happening that might, like, were there any conventions they could have been at?
Also considering that.
Yeah, like, it feels like if they
like, is there, like, a Bandai panel somewhere?
Maybe there'll be something in the next few weeks that explains that. But, yeah, we'll see. And then, cards. So, first up, so this is where, and to be fair, people get confused every starter deck when this happens, is there's always some bonus cards that aren't meant for the actual starter deck. They're just like, hey, if you have other decks, these might be useful. The Dogachmon card looks amazing, I will say.
He looks utterly badass.
No, he really does.
It's better than in the actual anime.
See, I don't know. I kind of like the 3D look in the anime, to be honest. I'm not sure. I like the look. I think it looks better there, though. Then Yellow Scramble, I believe this is a 1-1 reprinting, like the same art and everything, I think.
Do not remember.
Barbamon's a new card, and he looks really good and creepy.
Yes. Also, like, all the detailing on the metal and the jewels, like, damn, I want that artist skill.
Then Pipe Fox gets a token card. I will say this, they use the chroma shift, like, to fuck with the colors really well on this.
I really, really want this just to have it.
Am I wrong, or would this have been, like, the coolest art for an actual Sakuyamon card?
Absolutely fucking would. Especially if it was kind of like embossed metallic.
Have we gotten a token card as good as this so far?
No, not at all.
Okay, I didn't think so, but I wasn't sure. Sukuyumon X, I think this is a straight reprint, but with gold printing, I think.
Yeah, this pose looks really, really familiar, so yeah. I think this
I'm
think
not,
you're right.
I'm just trying to decide if we ever got a gold printing version of this. I don't think so. I think that's new for this. Then a token card for Uka no Mitama. Good
fucking
art.
Fucking love it. It's so fluffy.
I love it. It just doesn't stand up to the prior token.
No, it doesn't.
That's but,
it's
yeah,
so fluffy.
That's the only negative thing I can say about this is that the other token's nicer. Not that there's anything wrong with this one. Unique emblem, Blazing Conductor. It's fine. This is all existing art, which they've done for all the emblem ones.
It fits.
Yeah. Lamiamon and Medusamon got new cards for boosters at 24. So it's weird. The Medusamon one I really like. Lamiamon, does it feel like Koki's falling back into the pudding style?
Pudding.
Yeah.
Yes, but also, I mean, it makes sense for, like, the textures of the character.
It does work. I'm just saying it's been a while since, like, we've said, oh, this one looks pudding-y.
Yeah, because, like, other cards he's done more recently have had, like, a little more intense textures and details.
Also, for the Lamiamon one, am I wrong? Or the sample text, does it pull your eye in such a way that you almost don't notice the lower forms there?
Now that you say it, that's when I notice the lower forms.
Did you notice them on Medusamon's card?
No.
Yeah, that's why those were the card text hide stuff, even when it's not completely over them. And then Agumon. So we've seen the art for this one. I feel like seeing it in a card makes me focus on it more, so we get the anime-style Agumon, and he's in Central Town, and we can see the train stop behind him. That is very important in the game.
Nice.
Very solid card. It feels like he will get a parallel card, and it should be the coolest fucking parallel card ever. I don't know if he will. It feels like he should, though. Then card battle went. We got a match with Royal Knights versus Red Purple Imperial German, and previews also included Special Collection 2, which will be at a few events. Let's see. New sleeves are on January. We got smaller previews of these sleeves before, which are the Cyber Sleuth ones. Which of the four do you think are the best of? Yeah, I'm staring at these two.
It's like they're all really good, actually. Like, art-wise, like, there's, you know, the characters are big enough on them that you get to see the details, the colors are good, the balance.
I think I know which one's my favorite, and it's for a specific reason. It's the Nokia one, because it also has the Digimon one. Like, I really like the Hacker's Memory one, but there's no Digimon on it.
I'm, like, at least for my personal favorite, going with Yuko and the Gaiomon.
Yeah, that's a good-looking one, too. They all look really nice, though.
I like how the black border just kind of, like, frames everything in.
Yeah, and these are... I believe these are the first matte finish sleeves the game has gotten. So, yeah, so those will be out in January. 60 sleeves of the style of your choice for $9. Then moving on, the Metal Build EX Project Omegamon figure was on display at Tamashii Nations 2025. Looks very good. I want to know a price before I even think about this.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not going to get it regardless of price, though, because...
You have so many fucking Omegamons already?
It's not just that. I feel like I want an Omegamon that when I look at it, I go, it's anime Omegamon. Like, I don't want it to be stylized at all. And this one, it's stylized very cool. But it's stylized in a way where it's just not quite right, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, I get what you're saying. Like, I personally think it looks fucking badass.
No, it really does. But,
if
like,
you want the anime style, there's like, just something off of that, like, a little too elongated.
And, like, there's two. The two questions are, one is, what's the price going to be? Because, like, a low or decent price could change that opinion very quickly. And two, we have not seen any accessories yet. Like, we can definitely see that it looks like Wargreymon's head is not set properly, especially if you look at the front-facing picture. So it looks like that does open for an accessory. But I would like to see them first. So we will see.
How tall it is? Because I don't see anything next to it that I can gauge the actual scale.
Yeah, that's the other oddity, is because while Meadowbill does exist, so we could look at that as examples, they talked about the EX Project line being a new subline. So size and price may be completely different. The one thing I will agree with that is pointed out by Chet is like the texturing on the black areas, like on the arms, where it almost has a cloth-like look to it. Yeah, like it looks really neat. But I need to know price first.
Yeah.
And I also need to open that Dynaction Omegamon before I get any more Omegamons. That is in a box somewhere from when I moved. I need
at
to do something.
I have one Omegamon actually out and about.
Was it the one where he's splitting Diablomon in half?
No, that one's in the box.
Dev, we could all hear we could all hear the anger in your voice at yourself for that.
Look, I only have so much room on my walls.
No. I understand. I agree with that.
Considering how much money I fucking paid for it.
Yeah, that was not a cheap figure. moving on from Omegamon, the Digimon Adventure 02 and the Ojimajo Doremi 25th Anniversary Joint Exhibition started, and they showed off some original products, keychains and clear file. Nothing super crazy, but am I wrong, or does it work really well as a keychain, the art?
I actually really like the border around it.
Yeah, it really works well with the shapes and everything. Also, can we appreciate that because of Vmon's tail and one of Wormmon's ears, they added a tiny little bump?
I see that.
That is a weird, especially for the Vmon tail. Because the weird thing is if you look at the other side, that's where there's no cutout, and they added the cutout for the tail.
Because it was important.
Yeah, it's fun. Then on top of that, they announced in January there'll be a Digimon Adventure pop-up shop in Maruai, made in butler artwork. No notes.
Just obsessed with Dabumon in that
the butler outfit with the pocket watch.
Yes.
Yeah, I have no notes about the art. It's fantastic. The one that people seem to be the most obsessed with is Gomamon acting as a waiter, which I think the first time he did that was Try. Because that was what he did with the ramen, wasn't it?
Did he help out in the original adventure when Joe was sucking horribly at working at the Digitalmon's restaurant?
You may be right, but I don't remember if he actually, waitered or not. He probably did. I just don't remember. But I do remember I just remember the tray on his head and Try. Also, can we give the VIP to them not sure what to do with Tentomon, so they put him in a tuxedo, but he's not doing anything?
That gives me, Igor vibes.
And then they also announced more adventure products with a fruit party theme. These will be out in January, and Animate is taking pre-orders now with a bonus. First off, another set of really fucking good art.
Really cute and creative.
I'm trying to figure out which one I think is the best and which one I think is the worst. Okay, I think I know which the worst is, and here's why. I think it's the pineapple for Joe and Goldmon, mostly because does it look like they weren't sure how to integrate pineapple into the picture?
Let's give him the ugliest shirt possible.
Well, you have Gomamon holding one pineapple slice and then a full pineapple in the other hand. Like, they weren't sure what to have him do with it. As for the best, God, I don't know. Everyone else, I think, is kind of solid, honestly.
I really like Tai Chi's outfit.
I do really like it, but does it feel like it's something we would have seen him in a different product lineup?
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of?
It gives me like 90s. It gives me 90s vibes.
Yeah. I really like it, but it feels like, and this is without me looking at it, so I don't remember. Do you remember the one where it was like them painting?
Yes. Absolutely.
It feels like this is Tai Chi from that. Like, he's in painting clothes. He has a visor to protect keep paint from splashing on his eyes.
Like the cargo pants that are going to be covered in paint splatters.
Yeah. Oh, good. Then the products are acrylic stands, clear files, acrylic keychains, and metallic can badges, each in two sets, mini shikishi, long square tin badges, and clear cards themed after, like, photos. Nothing super special, but it all makes sense.
Done really well.
You know, I just realized the Joe and Goemon art is better on the full art. If you look at the acrylic stand, Joe has like a pineapple drink with sunglasses on.
Oh my god, he does.
You can't see that in the big art thing. You can't see that they did that. That's fantastic.
Also, he's wearing sandals, so it feels even more tropical.
Yeah, see, that is significantly better than the small version of Goemon. And I'm trying to think since chat mentioned it, I don't know if I noticed that Goemon was wearing the pineapple shirt also.
I did not.
I don't remember if I did, to be honest. But yeah, in chat they're pointing out that, yeah, Goemon's wearing the same Hawaiian pineapple shirt. Yeah, no idea if I noticed that. And then, new poll. Favorite Digimon story, Time Stranger Starter Digimon, between Patamon, Pico Devimon, / Demi Devimon, and Goemon.
Honestly, it can go anyway at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, these are actually all good choices. I'm trying to remember who I voted for. I think I voted for Patamon, but I actually don't remember.
I went Pico Devimon, because that's my go-to in any Digimon game that is available.
Makes sense. None of the three of these would shock me if they won. This is one where there's like anything in any order and it'd be make perfect sense. And then we get the smaller stuff throughout the week. So first up, reference book update for Taotimon. I think that was the name we guessed that he would be called, based on the theme of these previously. Am I wrong, or is the reference book art much better than the art from the game?
It's a lot more charming.
Yes. So good to see him. Then Ayumi Miyazaki posted some photos. His first trip to Argentina. He showed off, you know, it was a 2-day trip. Showed off right after he landed. They took him out for steaks and wine. He showed off the concert. He said the weather was great. He said it was a warm welcome for his first time in Argentina.
It looks amazing.
Then the Toei Museum, they put up chalk art of Kyo for his birthday on November 11th, which is what his birthday has been declared to be. They also showed off stuff for the joint exhibition, the Beat Break poster, and also various Digimon products they have on hand. They fill up those Otodomas so often.
One.
I'm always interested in seeing who sells out the most and who doesn't. It is never shocking who is actually gone the most from these photos. Looking around, I don't think I see any Tai Chis or Akumons. Looking at the Otodama photos, those appear to be the ones that had sold out. I'm trying to see if I see the older Tai Chi one they did from O2 or Kizuna. And I think those are sold out too.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking up near the top right of the pile where, like, the adventure kids are, and I don't see any up there. Oh, looks like there's one. Oh, two Kaisers left.
Greymon and War Greymon are gone also. Yeah, that tells you what sells. Because you can actually see, like, I will say, the Metal Garurumon one there looks quite nice.
The Garurumon itself looks kind of derpy, especially the face underneath.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the Omegamon one's gone also, which no shock there, but still. Oh, Paladin mode is also gone. Wait, was there a Paladin mode one? I don't remember.
I want the Lusamon one.
Oh, you know who else is gone? Gatsumon's there, but Pumpmon isn't. I wonder if he sold out because of Halloween.
That would make sense.
That'd be neat. And then moving on from that, we got a nice stack of photos from the O2 exhibition. They showed off some of the, you know, standees and, little displays. The Beat Break one was quite nice also. Seki Hiromi went there. I Maeda went there. Jun Noda went there. There's no photos of her, but multiple people noted, there's like a Kuramon game to capture the Kuramon. Was very happy that she got rank double S. She said Genota got triple S rank.
Defeated.
Yeah. Some very nice photos all around. Director Kakudo went there to the sample day. He noted he wasn't taking a lot of photos yet because, you know, it's going on until February and it's free. One interesting thing is in the room where they had various production materials, they had the Kulumon and Terrimon statues from when Tamers was originally on air, which is why those look kind of...
Looking at that.
That is why they look kind of old and, like, a bit janky, because those are 25 years old and at times have been outside and everything.
I'm stealing that Kulumon.
He's aware, because if you look, that's why he has that shocked face.
Coming home with me.
Moving on from that, we get some card game art, which is Reina looking for Suzune. Now, what's weird is Reina showed up in that one chapter where Suzune helped her. Has she shown up that much since then? Or am I thinking of a different character entirely?
Honestly, I didn't even recognize her when she pops. Like, who the fuck is this? Like,
She was in the web novel. So I think outside of profile art, I don't know if we've even had art of her. Although I will say I like that the Pico Devimon on her head. And then for Liberator
art... That's how I feel after 9 hours of retail.
I will say this. That is it's funny. That Pico Devimon is being helpful, but isn't he drawn like he's a gremlin? Usagi Bochi drew Owen. Really good serious art. And Tomo did like a menacing Owen. I love the minimal coloring style of there with the partners.
Yes. Also, I like the way that the shading goes over the eyes, which is kind of like, it's just so fucking menacing.
I know. It's so good. And then for Beat Break, Zhang Zhuge, who acts as chief animation director, he posted art of Tomura with a Sapotama that wasn't specifically for episode 7. It was just art that he posted.
Really fucking cool.
I know. I like how it kind of doesn't fit the show style, how it's kind of just like a showpiece. And again, can we just point out that all the people who work on the show, they keep doing these really great hand-drawn versions of the logo?
They've all got better handwriting than I do.
Oh, significantly better than mine. Megumi Han posted a photo she took at New York Comic Con. She said she wanted a photo of Gekkomon, so she said this is the first selfie she's taken in about 10 billion years. She also notes she wants Gekkomon to get a plushie soon.
Or else she's just going to steal the production one.
To be fair, she's definitely had it at times, because she's been at events with the plushie where it's not actually clear anyone from staff is with her. But yeah, and like chat saying, a real plushie. Not one of these promotional ones. We want plushie. We will buy plushie. Give us plushie.
Want.
And then a bit more Beat Break art. Takira Kojima, the character designer for Beat Break, put up art of Yuki to celebrate the new episode. It's funny. You would think they'd wait to do it until she's in an episode more. I guess she does get a couple minutes at the beginning. And then we get a bit more art.
She deserves it.
She does, but I would like some focus on her. And more for Kyo's birthday, Digimon TV Twitter. Very nice art of him sitting down. And Takira Kojima posted art of him smiling with shinies around him. God, does that image feel like...
Arena season.
Does that image feel like a death flag?
Yeah.
And then chat, time for questions. So you guys in chat can throw yours up. Ones that were sent ahead of time, first up. With them saying Digimon Beat Break is more aimed at an older audience, but still all just, how do you feel that's working? I feel that's something they say because it sounds good. There's really no difference between Beat Break and prior Digimon shows. Like, Dev, do you get the feeling that they're really aiming up? Or do you think they're just saying that because it sounds good?
Guy try and commit seppuku. So, I mean, I guess that's...
That's happened in Digimon shows before, though.
Yeah, but otherwise it's like not particularly more darker and edgier much. I mean, they haven't actually killed anyone off.
Yeah, I think that's the type of thing you say because it excites the audience that is tuning in for the show that airs at 9 a.m. on Sunday.
About me.
Yeah. See, chat's saying it's more deconstructive, but I'm not sure really it. We've gotten, like, Digimon trying to be deconstructive. At the moment, it's more meandering, I'd say, which isn't a bad thing, but, like, it isn't necessarily aimed higher in age. Like, if this were an adaption of a manga, we'd get people arguing this is a filler arc, which it isn't. We're getting important character stuff, but it's the type of thing that people would be arguing about. Then, Starkax, what are your go-to drinks given all the options? God, that's such a big question. Like, just drinks in general. Any given day, I will have... Any given day, I will have water and some iced coffee for sure. Try to have hot tea when possible and, you know, sometimes a soda of some sort, but I try not to. Okay, what flavor bubble tea, for you?
My horrible fix is lychee fruit tea with boba in it, or, like, just regular, like brown sugar milk tea.
Okay, those make sense. And then that is...
I'm pretty basic.
So it's interesting that Stark asked that question, because the next question that was sent in, which was sent in anonymously, is, it's been getting cold, what soups do you have when it gets chilly? So also drinking.
Beef stew.
For me, it'd either be just like basic chicken ramen or just having tomato soup.
Well, you had tomato soup. Just all of my tomato devouring is usually more solid.
No, I like tomatoes too. Tomato soup sounds good, but yeah, it'd be just like basic chicken ramen I always am happy with. Matzo ball soup is also good too, especially when it gets cold.
Shoyu ramen is my go-to as far as ramen goes, but I entirely blame The World Ends With You for that particular obsession.
There's a ramen place near my house that I need to try. The
best ramen place I've been to is downtown, but it's kind of a pain in the ass to get to because there's zero parking anywhere near it.
Ugh. Yeah. Did they at least have like easy takeout for if you wanted to do it or not really?
Kind of, but
does it fall in the does it fall in the vein of they do, but you don't really want it that way? You want it like fresh there.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I thought that's what you meant, but I wasn't sure. Now, here's a good one, Jeff. Was there any Digimon item you wanted and the prices made you go no, even though you had the money?
Yes, many things, because it's like, technically, I have this amount of cash money in my possession, but I'm not spending $900 on a life-size Doraemon plushie because that would be financially kind of stupid.
I'm trying to think. Mine's actually extra stupid because it's not that much. Anytime I'm looking at old stuff on Japanese reselling sites and I see a used set of the Crosswords rental DVDs, because my brain keeps going, at some point they have to do a Blu-ray. So it's one of those where, they're never that expensive, but my brain always just goes, you shouldn't.
Blu-ray.
And that's the issue. Like, Cross Wars is a native HD show, so if they do a Blu-ray, it will look nice. But they haven't yet, and the only DVDs were rental discs, and I keep being tempted, but I'm like, no. Because it feels like it's going to be a waste.
Well, you're just going to have to make it yourself.
I doubt it, honestly. But like I said, I would like to do all Digimon. I don't see it happening. Rest, what is our favorite Digimon manga? I feel like the easy answer is V-Tamer, for me at least. Dev, what is your answer?
I mean, also V-Tamer, but like certain sections of it are much more badass. But the thing is, like, V-Teamer also ran for so fucking long.
Yeah, it's easier to find stuff in it to like. But yeah, V-Teamer is the easy answer because it's V-Teamer. Although I will say, it was the run of comics we've gotten online lately have been really nice.
Yeah, because Recollection was also really, really fun.
It was. I also got to give credit to Dreamers.
And then there's also the Wanyamon and like the mini Royal Knights.
Yeah, that one's so stupid. It's good, but yeah, that one's good. Then someone asked, "What are you going to do for Thanksgiving?"
Go to work, probably.
I assume mine will be family dinner and then doing a bit of work just to get ahead of stuff. In chat, we have one of them saying Paradox of them. It changed their brain chemistry.
That is also very good.
And we also,
so yeah, for Thanksgiving, like, sometimes my parents sleep in, and then we'll have dinner somewhere around, like, 10 or 11 at night by the time someone gets around to making food, and then I go to work.
And then last chance in chat for you guys to ask questions. Someone said, new Pendulum colors are out next month, new Godzilla pre-order soon, and not including potential re-releases, where do you think they go with V-Pets? I feel like we're already seen, like, we're getting a new one in the Pendulum series. We're getting
Of, like, collaborations. I definitely see more of those. Ooh, imagine a Vocaloid collaboration V-Pet.
So, the funny thing is, do you feel like they would upgrade the speaker for that to have actual voices?
Yes.
Because, like, I feel like when we saw the promo, the clip of the first Godzilla one, and it actually started playing a chiptune Godzilla song, it was like, oh, shit. But I feel like for something like Vocaloid, you have to have some singing. I know a collaboration that it would feel like it would make sense. Do Metabots again.
Why not? It'd be in color.
Yeah. But yeah. It does feel like they're... I almost wonder if they're doing too many V-Pets lately. Because we've got some re-releases, some with special shells, more re-releases may be coming, multiple collaboration ones a year, the new ones. I wonder if it's saturating that audience a little bit.
I feel like not necessarily, because especially with the collaborations...
You're getting that audience.
Yeah, you're more aiming towards the audience that the collaboration is with. Like, it's... The Godzilla one is more aimed towards Godzilla fans than Digimon fans, but it's dragging the Godzilla fans into Digimon.
See, the Godzilla one, I'm not sure about, because that one has a lot of cool Digimon stuff. If you look at, like, the Monster Hunter one, I feel like there wasn't a lot for Digimon fans in that one.
Yeah, it's like, here's two monster-ish Digimon.
Yeah, there were two collaboration monsters, and the rest was, it was a Monster Hunter V-Pet using Digimon programming. The Godzilla one, it is a weird, crazy crossover thing with unique gameplay that has Digimon stuff. Like, it's very heavily Godzilla, but it appeals to the Digimon fan, I would say. A Monster Hunter, I don't know many people who got it, to be honest. I feel
I know at least one person who did, but they are obsessed with Monster Hunter.
No, that one, it's more strongly appealed to the Monster Hunter fan than the Digimon fans. Outside of the idea that it was like the first big collaboration type one we'd gotten in a while. Okay, I believe that's it for questions. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Lamiamon.
Oh, that's a good one.
He is a fancy snake.
Yeah. We will see you guys. Next time will probably be Monday the 24th. Okay, Dev. Here's a good question for you, Dev. Do you think when we show up next time, we will know Gekkoman's evolution? I'm not saying I'm not saying evolved. I'm saying, do you think we'll know it? Because remember, by then we will also have V-Jump. We could have a teaser for another episode where they might show it in a teaser. So I'm not saying he will evolve next episode, but do you think we'll have an idea what he evolves into?
I'm still saying probably not.
I think I agree with you.
I feel like next month, yes. Next week,
Do you think they've timed it so we will find out as the year ends?
Like, I feel like that works better.
Like before we get a 1 or 2 week break for January.
Good. Yeah, that feels a little more accurate.
Yeah, that'd be neat. Thank you, Rowan, for sure.
Yeah, a month seems more realistic.
Probably. It's hard to tell, because does it feel like at any point the show may, like, turn on a dime to do something crazy?
I feel like it would depend on merch.
Yeah,
and card sets.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, thank you, everyone, for showing up. We will catch you guys all next time. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.